Hallelujah. I want to give somebody reason to serve this Jesus. Serve under any condition. This is the revelation you have, church. You will never serve God for what you will get from Him. I've been emphasizing this. Every true child of God that is truly saved with the understanding of the cross. Hallelujah. All other grounds are sinking sand. What gives you joy is not the amount of worldly riches you have. The thought of the salvation of your soul is what gives you joy. And it can only come through a revelation. If you are saying only what Pastor Moses is saying, you will never get the same effect. You must experience it. There must be one assurance that keeps you anchored under any situation. Even if it's painful, it's painful. Since day before yesterday, you never chop. Everybody has forsaken you. And a man is telling you, open your leg for me, I'll give you 1,000,000 naira. See temptation. And that God stand there, they look you. See him stand there, they look you. And you still say, lie. Let me die with this hunger. You can never say so until there is a revelation you have. Hallelujah. You say you are successful based on what you are looking for. I know what I am looking for. See the people I am looking for. Can I see my hand on? Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. That is what I am looking for. Sitting down here and all around the world. That is my achievement. You are not going to take millions to give account of your ministry. You are going to take souls and give account of your ministry. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I am not against you making money. But let me tell you this thing. It is where you concentrate on that you will succeed in. And the two can never go together. As a minister of God. Hallelujah. As a minister of God. If I want to be a millionaire, look at all of you now. If I want to be dishonest, like enter message pastors, some of them. Brother Abraham made a statement, say, the tithe of every church belongs to the pastor. Wait, what do I need again? Eh? But, I will show you now. Who said this? The prophet of the hour. He said, tithe belongs to me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. Tithe does not belong to pastor. It's in the Bible who tithe belong to. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. They put it there as a bait for those who are serving God for belly. They will hold on to it. Hold on to it. And end up where they are ordained to end up. We know better than that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And to attack me. Because me, I know too. He's attacking me. You see, can't you see I'm very angry against Satan? Because me too, I'm facing battle. Facing battle. Hallelujah. If I tell you one battle area I'm facing, I'm not going to enjoy the remaining sermon again. Hallelujah. But let me just tell you one. So that you can, this one you can continue. Listen. Do you imagine that thousands of people are members of this church? How many of you came at the end of the year to give me a gift? Now, let me tell you, it's not you. It's Satan that is causing it. It's not you. All these ministers that labor here every time. How many of you say the end of the year has ended? This is the people that God has used to bless us last year. Let me do. How many? Few. Very, very few. Handful. I can count them. But I'm not angry. I know it's Satan. It's not you. In you, you will give. But something will block you. But if I was teaching error here, it doesn't matter, sister, you look good in trousers. My birthday, all of you will struggle and buy me cars.
You build houses and dash me. Satan will use that so that he will deceive me to think, you see, God is very happy with you. God is very happy with you. Just relax it. Don't attack their lifestyle. Don't attack fornicators. Don't attack 419. Just let them come like that. God is a good God. God is a good God. And come and see. Piap, you will see a lot for your phone. Piap, you will see a lot for your phone. Piap, you will see this one. Piap, you will see this one. Oh, the Lord is good. Can't you see? Can't you see? Can't you see? Can't you see? But if you stand on this truth, gagaraga, it's not you. Even if you decide that you will do something for the pastor and you really mean it, he will go and attack your expectation. He will go and attack it. And if already originally said you'll be a stingy person, then he will relax you. That's what he uses to attack our peace. But I'll be a good soldier. I will die at my bones. Who will separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Nothing. The relationship I have with my God, which you must also have with your God, is for better or worse. It's for richer or poorer. In sickness and in health. When the Bible says we are all running in a race, Apostle Paul said we should run by the rule. And it is only those who run by the rule that receive the crown. That means you can run. The race is not for the swift. Hallelujah. Listen, it is not how you started, but how you end, how well you end. It's not the first person that crosses the tape, but it's not enough that you cross the tape first. You will still be judged. Did you run according to the rule? And sometimes I look, a thought occurred to me this morning. I say, let me see. I just had it in my mind. I was watching for something. You know, some brethren went to Cross River State for a burial. Aqua Ibom. You know, and they took up since yesterday and they just arrived this morning. Listen, and that is enough for somebody to say, I don't tire now. Now go rest. I don't tire now. Make I go rest. Amen. And I turned, and the musicians that went there, they are sitting down here. They arrived this morning and came straight to the altar to carry their instruments to play. Now, listen. You don't serve God only when it is convenient. Hallelujah. They say, Pastor, you have your own, don't too much. I travel overseas. I arrived in the morning. All night. How many hours? You know. All day, flying in the air. And I land at the airport. I'm telling the driver, hurry up. Because it is a Sunday. I was not coming to preach. Because I was not sure I would be in the church. So, somebody else was prepared to preach. But how will I land the town on Sunday? I'm going to sit there at home. And please, it's not because I am a pastor. I was more serious. For those who know me before this church started, I can't go to church late. I can't. I will feel condemned the rest of the day. If my family want to waste my time, I will leave the car key and take Okada. I don't go. When I meet me there. Why will I go to church late? When I don't go to my business, it's late. My business appointment late. It is a revelation. Church. Satan will do everything, including making you to feel lazy. I know you will justify. They drove all night. They went on Friday. So that is the whole of Friday, the whole of Saturday, day and night, they were on the road. So they are justified to come and go and lie down and tell God, I don't tire. But you still decided to come to church. He said he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That is when you position yourself for reward, including the offerings you give. You don't give offerings out of convenience. You don't even go out of, go out to evangelize out of convenience. This sun is too harsh. What makes you go out is not the sun is cool, but is that there are lost souls that need to hear me. And that is where you go. I told somebody who said he's an evangelist, and he did not go out because the sun was too hot. I said, you will never move forward in your evangelical ministry, because God gives us our need. It is what you need he gives you. Till the day you go out on evangelism, rain beat you tire. So tell your Bible spoil with water. And evangelism you go. Then God can see you need a car. If not, you're going to stay until there's no rain. You're going to enter leg the waka they go. People don't know how to serve God. Hallelujah. There was an arrangement that the church was making to get me a house of my own. And I called them and I said, I will not lay any foundation. That was sometime 2 years ago. For my own house, my own building, until church building is complete and is dedicated. Every cover you want to use for my own, go and put it in the church. See, it is not because I'm doing it so that God will give me a bigger house. The truth about it is this. The zeal of the house of the Lord has consumed me. God first in everything I am doing. Not because of that. Am I living under a bridge? Am I living under a bridge? So what's the problem? Who told you that's my priority? See, a minister who's going to start a ministry, and the first thing he's looking for is the type of house he will live. The first thing he's looking for is to rent a hall and furnish it and do that. That is where he is. And he will spend all that money and then in furnishing, and then he call it packaging. And then when he finish, then he's standing alone with sophisticated gadgets and shouting at his wife and his family, and then shouting with microphone outside. He's saying, now, church, it is start. You're a businessman, you're not a preacher. Businessman, you're not a preacher. And watch anybody that will take this message and go that way. If you have a true call on you, God will halt his progress with you until your senses come back. And you come back, then he'll continue with you. But if you have no problem, your call is not a genuine call, your ministry will be going like wildfire. Fear. Because you're a ministry to gather tears anyway. This is church. Praise the Lord. And so, God himself raises standards to counter all this nonsense. Their standards are those four beasts. By the time we go to chapter 5, as I was saying, the title deed has been collected by he who owns the earth. I was now openly going to declare who has all authority. Who is going to be given a name that is above every other name? Who is going to be given and put all things under him? Who is qualified now for all things to be put under him? 1 Corinthians 15 from 25 says so. All things are put under him. Under Christ. Who is qualified for that? He was holding that book. That book, that is the title deeds. The seal of all for this earth. And it was sealed with 6-7 seals from within and from without. And no man was worthy to receive it from he that sat upon the throne. But while John was crying because nobody was qualified, one of those elders that was sitting in the throne in chapter 4 told him, weep not, John. There is one who has overcome. Hallelujah.
the lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed. He alone. And while he was saying that, behold, remember, it is in the spirit. One like a lamb came to him that sat upon the throne and collected the book. Hallelujah. And then he came back and said, all power is given to me on earth and in heaven. All power. Principalities and powers are subject to him. All power is given to him. Power is not given to Satan again. Now, but what are these seals? Now, after he has collected the book of redemption, it is still sealed. Each of those seven seals, they are the processes he will go through from the time he collects that title deed, that authority he collects. The process that the Church of Jesus Christ will go through, the process he will do to collect all his predestinated seed, whose names are written in the book of life, the process he will go through in every age, because at that time, I was not even born yet. You were not born, but our names are there. That process is going to go through seven different stages. And at each stage, there are activities that will take place. And those activities are those reflected on each of the seal. And the first seal was open. And one of those four beasts. What are those four beasts? Listen. I'm paraphrasing. You can read that on your own, because we have taken this in details before. Listen. There are four horse riders in Revelation chapter 6. These four horse riders, they ride within a period spanning from the first to the seventh church age. They are riding during the seven church ages, the period that Christ will be collecting his bride, divided into seven church ages. Then we have these horse riders. The first one was unveiled when the first seal was open. Remember, it is Revelation. One of the beasts, one of those four beasts, told John, come and see. Come and see. Amen. So, and then when he came, what he saw was somebody sitting on a white horse. He had a bow, but there was no arrow. Listen carefully. Hallelujah. He had a bow, but there was no arrow. White. Who is this sitting on that white horse? What is that beast that said, come and see? The one seated in the white horse is the gate of hell. The Antichrist spirit that as soon as the Church of Jesus Christ started, the power, the Antichrist spirit that went forth to attack the church. And each of that symbolizes something. Who is that beast? The four beasts in chapter 4 before the throne of God, they are the standard that God raised to counter every one of those horse riders. So, it is the anointing that God released to his bride at that time to counter the Antichrist spirit, the gates of hell. When Christ said the gates of hell shall not prevail, he was looking at those four horse riders. Please, there are four horses. Later on, the next seal was opened. That horse became a black horse.
a red horse. Later on, and then when it became red, amen. When the second one was opened, the second beast came again to say, John, come and see. And then it was a red horse that was seen. Hallelujah. And then, so each of them, they were the standards that God used to counter the Antichrist spirit. From red, it changed to black. From black, it changed to pale color. And each one, four horse riders to be countered by four beasts before the throne. And it is, hallelujah, praise the Lord. It is God's standard. And please, they are not four riders. They are not four horses. It is the same horse. It was only changing colors. It was only changing its approach. It was white. But it did not, it sat down with a bow. But it did not have arrow. And so, it was there, scaring everybody around. I will deal with you. And just doing things to just scare them. Scare the apostles. And though they were only caning them, they were not even killing them at that time. And then scaring them. But he used the first anointing. And that is the anointing of Eliab. And that anointing was a spirit of boldness. And they could not stop them from preaching the gospel. As the church history went on, since he could not stop them, the history changed. The same spirit under the Roman Empire, the same spirit now decided, that's the age of the martyrs, blood, killing anyone that refused to follow them, or to stop the church. And that is when all manner of killings, one time 6 million, another time horrible death. That is when that horse changed the color to red, danger. But within that period, another anointing was released by that beast, signified by that beast of an ox, of a calf, a burden bearer. The more you trouble it, the more the waka they go. The more you trouble it, it will not fight you back. The more they were killing the Christians, the more people were giving their life to Christ. And so, when he decided, Bilai said, the more we kill them, they are unstoppable. Oh, many more people. You they kill people. Somebody they say, kill me too. Kill me too. Instead of them to be afraid, he changed it again. I'm talking church history. These things are all in church history. And then, but they are there in the book of Revelation, but not too many people understand what that book is all about. But the bride knows it. Hallelujah. Why not clap your hands for Jesus for this privilege? It's a privilege. It's a privilege for us to know it now. Praise the Lord. And then he changed again. Hallelujah. He decided, okay, what is it that is giving them so much faith? It is Bible when they read. So they decided to collect all the Bibles. It became an offense to be seen with Bible. The deeds of the Nicolaitans is in the Bible. And then, before you know what, only the Roman Catholic priests was permitted to read the Bible. And the rest of you only to say amen. Whether you read and correct or not read and correct. And when he's reading, he will back the congregation according to history. And read this of the Spirit, heaven news, amen. In the name of the Father, Holy Ghost, Shekinah. Oh yeah, do your penance. Your penance, Pogakni. Do your penance. Oh yeah, we need money. Come and do bazaar. And then finish. And then sprinkle you with water. And all the errors. And everything. And the whole works of grace. Matthew 13 verse 33. That is the parable that was fulfilled. Praise the Lord. And then the whole earth became dark. For about 1,000 years. No preaching, no Bible, nothing. That is what is called in church history as the Dark Ages. Manifested by that black horse rider. What is the standard for God to do? By the 15th century, he raised up a man. The beast that said, come and see, was that had a face like the face of a man. And that man started with a reformation, used men, in the Reformation period, starting with Luther, moved to John Wesley, and then all the other reformers. And that was the period they began to establish Bible colleges. That is the period that the Protestant movement started, protesting from the Catholic errors and the Catholic Church. And that is when it started with Martin Luther, who broke out from the Roman Catholic Church, and millions of people followed them. But because it is God's standard, when they were going to catch him to kill him, the emperor of Germany, a German emperor, came and stood behind him. What this man is saying true, don't touch him. God, if it is not your time to die, you cannot die. And he held it, and the revival started. And all the three works of grace, justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, God began to use this man to restore them. Justification, correct water baptism, Luther, come in again, holiness, sanctification, John Wesley. And in 1906, hallelujah, he came up with the restoration of the gifts in the Azusa Street Revival in America that produced the Pentecostal movement. But while this was going on, that same Antichrist spirit again said, anointing, ready, look for Abby. Now the fire anointing. Okay. Now go see anointing tire. The important thing is you will not get to that heaven. I will make you think you have it when you don't have it. And so, before you know what, they crept in there, raised those his servants again, false teachers, teach him that speaking in tongues is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. You want Holy Ghost, stand up, say it, and they teach you to speak in tongues. While in the Bible, they speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. You are speaking as your pastor is teaching you, and you are saying, I have the Holy Ghost. Very good. Say it, say it. You have it. You have it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See yourself operating gifts. That means you are saved. Before you know what, he crept in into, it doesn't matter, gospel. It is in this Pentecostal age that they began to allow women to even be pastors. Allow women to dress anyhow. Women to wear trousers and go to church and dress and say, it doesn't matter. To dress anyhow. Anyhow, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And the person that is saying the Lord is good is anointed. Take it! So you say God was with him. Unknown to you, it was that pale horse rider that was riding again in this church age. Hallelujah. That same pale horse rider was riding. What is the pale horse? It's a color of deception. The spirit that the Antichrist is using now is the spirit that will make you think you have it when you don't have it. The spirit that deceives the people. He says, and Apostle Paul saw this spirit too, he prophesied. When he said, that in latter times many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The same way. And it is in this age that the fourth beast was released. He said, come and see. What is it? What is that? It's the flying eagle. It's a flying eagle. Praise the Lord. That is the anointing he used. And that is the anointing he's using now. The flying eagle. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the seventh church age. The Laodicean church age. Praise the Lord. Because this is the age where you have another spirit. Another gospel. Another Jesus. And people are thinking they are serving the original Jesus. And they are thinking that they are having the original Holy Ghost. And they are thinking that they are hearing the same gospel of salvation. But unknown to them is another. And there is only one another. It is the Antichrist. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And this eagle anointing comes by the anointing the Bible calls the latter rain. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because it is a yoke of the enemy. Keep the people again in bondage, because he will never give up. But the word of the Lord still stands before the church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Hallelujah. Not all Israel are of Israel. Not all Christians are of Christ. But the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And that anointing will call you out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. When it hits you, and it only hit the elect for this age. Every age had her elect for that age. We are talking about the eagle. And that is the one that concerns us. All the rest, they are history. White horse, history. Red horse, history. Black horse, history. Bell horse, now in the right now. And you are either under the influence, as a Christian in this age, you are either under the influence of the bell horse rider, or you are under the influence of the flying eagle. They are all anointed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The overcomers of this age, because every age has her overcomer. The overcoming anointing to overcome the pale horse rider is the eagle anointing. Not just eagle, flying eagle. That's why it is a symbol of our faith. It's a symbol. We call ourselves eagles. I want to talk a little bit about the eagle. And when I'm talking about the eagle, don't look at that bird, look at yourself. Because I'm actually talking about the believer of this age. Because the wise man, in Proverbs chapter 13, can we read it? Proverbs chapter 30 verse 18. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 18 and 19. What does it say? This is what the wise man said. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, for which I know not. So there are four things that marvel the wise man. These are there in verse 19. Number one is the way of an eagle in the air. Number two, the way of a serpent upon a rock. Number three, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea. And finally, the way of a man with a maid. Maybe your housemaid, madam, no know what in the apple. But our interest is on the first one. The way of an eagle in the air. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Take note that an eagle is born an eagle. A chicken is born a chicken. A vulture is born a vulture. And everyone is to produce according to her kind. Listen to me. I'm saying something deep now. Hallelujah. There are two types of eagles. There are two types of eagles that are before us in the Church of Jesus Christ. The first one is the ones that say they are eagle, eagle in the entire message. But they are eagle that stick the feathers. You know what I mean by sticking the feathers? Hypocrites. Pretenders. They put aradat in their body and hang eagle feathers everywhere. So that when you see them, you say, eagle. This time we say, yeah, eagle, shalom. Shalom. These are the ones. Even as Sister Ibi, he will not palm her hair. He will not rub her lipstick. She won't wear clothes that will expose her laps. She won't wear those tight things. In fact, when you just see her, that's why it is not by their dressing you will know them. It's more than that. Because time is going to prove. Hallelujah. Don't worry. Everybody come. Igu. Don't worry. Don't worry. Time is going to come when those fetters will be tested. Hypocrites. Number two is the eagles that are hatched among the chickens. The eagles that are hatched among the chickens. Looking back at that story, hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord. Looking back at that story about William Branham gave that story. The farmer that went and brought the egg of a chicken, of an eagle, from the bush and joined it with the chicken, the chicken eggs in his chicken barn there. But quickly, for the purpose of knowledge, William Branham is not the source, the original source of that story. The original source of that story, William Branham repeated that. But I used to teach that it's William Branham that brought it. It's not. It's not the one. He was also quoting from a story. Some of you know this musician called Aretha Franklin. Her father was Reverend Franklin. In those days, he was the one that, in his evangelical sermon, brought that story out. Just for the record. Praise the Lord. There are a lot of things that we ascribe to William Branham because we heard it from him. It's okay, but as knowledge is increasing, we are beginning to know some of the sources where William Branham also brought that from. And we should be sincere enough to make reference to whosoever brought out any revelation. Praise the Lord. And if you don't do that, you become an idol worshiper. You're not even sincere with yourself. If I read it from Oyedepo, I will tell you I heard it from Oyedepo. If I read it from the Pope of Rome and it is true, I will quote the Pope of Rome. And if it is William Branham, I will quote William Branham. Praise the Lord. Even including the seven seals, Clarence Larkin's, William Branham quoted extensively also from Clarence Larkin. And I'm not just saying it. I have all the books. Praise the Lord. That say all this. I order for that. I have them so that I can talk authoritatively. Praise the Lord. Now listen, church. And some of us, apart from me, we were eagles among chickens. Including you, Sopru. All of you, in fact, all of you. Which church were you before you came here? Eh?
Redeem.
All of you.
Assemblies of God.
You see? You call sister? Which church you come from?
Catholic.
Eh?
Catholic.
Holy Mary. Praise the Lord. Now, what we learn from that story is this. Let me rush this. Listen, church. Is that this is a group where it's talking about predestination. The story brings out predestination. That your destination is determined before you even began. And that the knowledge, through foreknowledge, God has already saved you before you even knew Him. And some of us, we are not even in chicken houses. Person like me, I was, because I don't know where to bring shrine from, nightclub from. That's where some of us were before we heard this message. I never belonged to any denomination. Just from the world, straight into this present truth. So, So this story is not for me, it's for so many of you here. That this farmer went and brought this egg and put it in among the chicken eggs. And the mama chicken brooded on it, and it was time for them all to be hatched. And so this eagle also was hatched together with chicken and was looking at that hen as a mama, because you don't know any other mama. But there are two different natures, irrespective of where they are. There are many of you that we are in those denominations, but you did not fit in there. There are so many of things that were going on there. You were following there to do, but something inside of you will make you not agree with everything there. But you cannot explain it, because it is through that you gave your life to Christ. It is through that woman pastor you gave your life to Christ. It is through that very abominable pastor where you see. You don't catch him. Don't catch the pastor. They sleep with your friend. And he's there. And teaching, it doesn't matter. But you are saying, how can a Christian defile himself? It's in the Bible. And you try to ask, pastor, but what of this scripture? I say, I shut up. What do you know? I am your pastor. Okay, sir. He will even threaten you. If you go any further, I will curse you. Fear. Inside of you. They gather you one day. Everybody speaking tongue. Everybody is saying, blah, blah, blah. You too, you follow. Smarter, you say, what am I saying, sir? Only the true ego can think like that. The rest are enjoying the hair. Oh, go. Then go look the pastor. How in the duam? They shake head. Okay. Hey, like a pastor. Hallelujah. But you stood and said, But the Bible says they speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, maybe I saw a bishop. He had been, I just born again, new. So, this one now. Mama. No. When they finish, you sit down and agree. But the way out, you don't know. Everybody else is doing it. Many of you are like those chicken. In fact, because you look odd, because the eagle is a bigger bird than chicken, there is something about you that causes attraction very easily. You are very easily noted by the pastor. And before you know what, they have made you chairman harvest committee. Chairman planning committee. Chairman building committee. Chairman. Hallelujah. Patron. And give you big appointment. So that you will not go, they give you special seats. So that the pastor will look you every time. The day you know conscious, you go no. Before service finishes, calling you. Why are you not in the church, my brother? There's something special about you. But you don't belong there, you didn't know. Until one day, oh glory be to God, our eyes of understanding, He has opened up at last. And sweet victory is ours. Oh yes.
Tender in the blood. To jubilee us all. We have responded. Have responded. To our God. Victory in the land.
Hallelujah. Sorry, somebody just send this. Please. Namdi, brother Namdi, you said, you wrote this. Which Namdi? Who write them? Okay. Your question said, sir, is it not the rider that is the same while changing forms? I thought I said it. Eh? Maybe I don't understand. Give me a microphone. Ask the question. Maybe I don't understand.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
I thought I heard you say the horse is the same. So somehow I spotted it in verse 4 saying another horse. That's why I put that.
Another horse, it means another appearance now. It's only changing form. So I didn't say anything different from what you heard me. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now listen, because suddenly you either come across the bright television on air, or you had a tape of our messages anywhere, or you came across this message that William Branham preached. Because he's one voice, a star in this age, that directed the bride of Jesus Christ to where you will find him. The restoration ministry. And some of you came through the tracks that we wrote in this ministry, warn your pastor. And you began to see some of those things you disagreed with. You began to see the answer. Hallelujah. Then you pulled out. Pulled out of the nonsense faith you are holding on to, back to the scriptural faith. That is when you found your freedom, and you soon discovered that you are an eagle. Hallelujah. You are an original eagle, and you cannot eat the chicken food. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The food of the Spirit, the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what is the eagle anointing? The eagle anointing is a prophetic anointing. We see in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4. Let's read it. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4. You notice Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4. It says, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. The Lord is speaking to his people. And how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. What did he mean? By bearing you on an eagle's wing, by a prophet. Hallelujah. By a prophet. Can we read it? Hosea chapter 12 and verse 13. Hosea in the Old Testament. Chapter 12 and verse 13. What does it say? Hallelujah. And by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet was he preserved. And the prophets in the Bible, also in verse 14 of Revelation chapter 12, hallelujah. Just for the purpose of this, let's call our attention to it. Chapter 12, Revelation, verse 14. During the persecution, when the Antichrist, the Jews will be going through the tribulation period, this is how God saved those remnants. In verse 14, it says, and to the woman, that is Israel, we are given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times, and have a time, that is three and a half years, from the face of the serpent. What are those two wings of a great eagle? It's talking about the revelation that will come forth from those two prophets in Revelation chapter 11. When the gospel will be going back to Israel, they are going to say something that will let the children of Israel know where to run and go and hide in the time of the persecution and the tribulation. And so it is important that what you see the eagle signifies, it signifies a prophetic insight, a spirit of revelation. By a prophetic insight. Why did he call them eagle? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because We will understand this age by the characteristics of an eagle. Before. Because it is the spirit. Listen, church. It is not about one man. It's not about one man. It is about an anointing that has been released. It will always start with a star messenger. When it was time for the restoration, it was Luther that God used to bring back the people. But it was an anointing that was released so that even after Luther died, other people picked the same grace, the same anointing, and continue with the ministry. In this age also, he chose another man by the name of William Branham to come back to spearhead again this restoration ministry. By that prophetic insight, it is an anointing that takes you deeper and deeper and deeper into God's agenda for salvation. So that the death of William Branham does not stop the anointing. Revelation is continuous. Therefore, I believe in the continuity ministry. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you stood only with Luther, you would not have gotten listen to other reformers that came up. Wesley and the rest. I'm not even talking about the major ones. Wesley was a major one. I'm talking that between Wesley and Luther, Luther produced others that echoed what he was saying. Hallelujah. And they were scattered all over the world. And what were they to achieve is they were facing that Roman Catholic spirit. The same thing now also William Branham faced that spirit of error that engulfed the whole church and pointed us to what the devil was doing in the church and left a message for us to walk therein and come back to the Bible. And if you are going to come back to the Bible, then there are so many things we shall be continue to speak against to bring back the people back to scriptural way of worshiping God. And so to understand whether you are an eagle or a chicken, listen very carefully, very briefly. After this, you will know who you are. As you study the characteristic, remember that it is also a bird. It is a bird. It is like any other chicken. We have chicken. We have a hawk. Plus vulture. They are all birds. Vulture na bedo. Vulture. Hallelujah. And the vulture is almost the same size with an eagle. Hallelujah. If you look at the vulture, it's almost the same size with an eagle. The only difference is the mouth. Because the mouth is designed different. Hallelujah. We can only speak what the spirit speaks. The eagle. You cannot just speak from both sides of the mouth. You cannot speak to please everybody. So the first identity I want to point out is that the Bible tells us in Matthew 24 verse 28, there is a way he brought it up. Let's read it. Let me just explain this one point. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 24 verse 28. Hallelujah. Go to verse 26. Let's read it from verse 26. Amen. Listen. Concerning the coming of the Lord. Listen. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning concerning the coming of the Lord cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. So now, for you hearing me for the first time, he said the coming of the Lord will be as the sun rises from the east and sets in the west. That means, and the sun Here it's talking about the light of the gospel. It started from the east, the Middle East, Jerusalem, through the apostles. Now watch the church history. How the thing moved to Europe through those seven-star messengers. And moved finally through those seven church age messengers and last landed in this our age in the West. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the seven-star messenger in the right hand of Jesus Christ, in Revelation chapter 1 verse 16, the mystery of God, the salvation for the Gentiles, should be rounding up as he has revealed to his servants, the prophets. Revelation chapter 10 verse 7 says so. Now, so, look at how he chose the star messengers. They were moving from the east. They rejected them, they moved on and on and on until finally in the west. Then he added, for where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. The light, therefore, is the carcass. When it moved to when it was with Apostle Paul, all the eagles of that age rallied around Apostle Paul. When it moved on to John Wesley, that is where the carcass is. The carcass is eagle food. The carcass is what the eagles feed. The characteristic of the carcass of the eagle, number one, is that he does not eat overnight food. It will purge him. It will kill him. He does not eat dead food. He does not eat dead meat. He kills fresh meat. Fresh kill. That is one characteristic of the eagle. And wherever he notices a fresh food, a fresh meat is, that is where all of them will come and gather. Revelation, hallelujah, of John Wesley. Everybody gathered there. Suddenly, it moved to another day. It moved to John Wesley. And the fresh people, because that is a fresh revelation coming up there, fresh teaching coming up there, they will rush there. And it's supposed to be continuation. Listen, it is not for you to drop the former one. Hallelujah. It is an addition to the one you ate yesterday that is giving you strength today. It's to eat the one for your day. Praise the Lord. And it went on and on until we are in the seventh church age. In the midst of the confusion that was going on in the Pentecostalism, God raised up a man by the name of William Branham with a ministry screaming something different from all those robots. Or a robot, Billy Graham, and all the mighty Pentecostal preachers of this age, up to the ones that are still alive now. They are the big, big, big names. Wise men were studying the stars. Suddenly there is a star that looked different. And they know when that a star appears like that, something is about to happen. It's going to do something. And it began to move and they followed the star. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are,
glory, hallelujah,
and what we are raised up for.
Oh,
praise the Lord.
Original.
Original Christianity was brought back again. All of a sudden, a man is come bringing us back to the Bible and saying, baptize like the apostles baptize. Stop ordaining your wives as ministers. Women, without holiness, it is written. Men, without holiness, it is written. No one will see God. Speaking in tongues is not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Demons also speak in tongues. And he hammered and hammered and hammered. And we notice that is another fresh manner coming up. And the eagles in this age rally round that carcass. The carcass is now in the West. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just watch this clip of how William Branham gave a description of the eagle.
This farmer, well, he got an eagle's egg. And he liked one in heaven to set in. So he put the eagle's egg under the hen. And when that hatched out, it was the funniest looking little thing to all those little chickens. Why, he couldn't understand what they were chirping about. He spoke in a different language. He didn't know what them chickens was talking about. I hope you know what I mean. So then, he watched him, and he didn't know what to do. And they all picked on him, because he said he was an odd fellow. He perhaps was. But he was an eagle to begin with. They could stretch their little wings and bop around, and he'd look at them, and they were all the way they were. Oh, he and would cluck, and they'd go to every one of the clucks. So here come the little chickens all running in, but the eagle didn't understand that cluck. And he wouldn't come in, because he didn't know that kind of clucking. I'm not going to say much, but I hope you know what I'm talking of. He didn't understand it. He talked different. He noticed that this old hen, every time she'd find a little bug or something, she'd cluck to her little chickens, and all the little chickens come, the little eagle come in the back looking around. He was a funny-looking little creature. But you know, one day she happened to be out in the barnyard feeding, and the old mother eagle happened to fly by. And as she flew by, her great shadow swept over the top of the barnyard. She looked down, and she seen her own. He knows his own. And she screamed to him. And when she did, the little fella turned his head and began to look upward. That's where he ought to been looking all the time. And when he looked up, she screamed back and she said, "Son, you're not a chicken. You're mine." The old mother said, "You're not a chicken. You don't belong there. You are mine." And he wondered what he could do. That's what he wanted. And you know, there may be a many little eagle been walking in some old denominational chicken yard for a long time sitting here tonight. Right. But I hope that he calls you and says, "Son, you're mine. What must I do, Lord?" That was the cry. She said, "Just make the first big jump and flop your wings." And he made the first jump and flopped his wings. He found out he wasn't earthbound anymore, because he sat on a barnyard post right in the center of a Pentecostal organization. His mother said, "Son, you've got to come higher than that, or I can't get you." He said, "Just give another jump and I'll bear you up on my wings." Are we thinking of these things as we bow our heads a moment? I wonder this morning while we're in the building if there would be an eagle here this morning. But you've been walking in a barnyard a long time. You're sick and tired of that stuff. Just pretending to be a Christian. Living a haphazard life. There's somehow or another been a certain little wind that swept over your soul this morning. By the preaching of the word. You know what it is? It's mother standing loose the feathers that will come in. The little things of the world that you've been holding on to has kept as being a real Christian. That little doubt, that little fear, that little bunch of worldliness that you're hanging on to, that little party that you're running around with, and let that wind flush all that spirit away from you this morning. May it come to the Father's house. there yesterday.
That is the voice of the prophet. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Just a clip of what he also spoke. Hallelujah. Concerning that story, I was paraphrasing. And let me tell you, we need to hammer this in very well for somebody to see yourself that God has delivered from this denominational spirit and stay and act like the eagle that you are. We have to put a pause again and we shall continue because I have 8 different characteristics of the eagle we shall look at. God willing.